Hello, this is Dawn Jarvis. Welcome to our podcast today on the ketogenic diet. In this episode, Ryan Cornett, my colleague and I, will be talking about what the ketogenic diet is, how to follow it, who it's for, and giving you some practical tips on how to find out whether you're in ketosis. So tune in and listen to the ketogenic diet. Hello, I'm Dawn Jarvis, nutritionist and dietitian at Garden of Life. Welcome to our podcast series, Digging Deeper. In this series, I will be discussing the latest nutritional topics, and we'll also be talking to leading scientists and industry experts to bring you the very latest up-to-date scientific information, as well as provide you with some very practical nutrition tips and information. So we hope you find our podcast both enjoyable and also helpful. Thank you for joining us.
Hey guys, it's Ryan Cornett, and we are back today with Dawn Jarvis to talk about the ketogenic diet. This is a very popular diet right now, so we wanted to give you some more information on it. So, Dawn, what is your experience with the ketogenic diet, and when did this come on your radar?
Okay, well, good question, Ryan. As you know, I was in my past life a clinical dietitian in hospitals, although I'm still a registered dietitian. Back when I worked in hospitals, I learned about the ketogenic diet, obviously as a dietetic student, but in practice, we put children with epilepsy on the ketogenic diet. So I learned about using a ketogenic diet to manage children with severe epilepsy. But in more recent times, we've heard Dr. Perlmutter lecture about this isn't a new diet. Our ancestors have been living pretty much a keto diet.
Yeah, you and I talk about this is there was periods of feast and famine. So yeah. During periods of feast, you'd eat a lot of food, but then maybe food scarcity came around and your body would naturally go into ketosis where it would have to use some of its own fat as a fuel source. So Perlmutter always tees up this question. He says, how long has the ketogenic diet been around?
Yep.
And people say, oh, 100 years, because clinical practice, it's been used for almost 100 years. And then he says, wrong. And everyone kind of scratches their head.
Exactly.
And he says, it's been around forever, because our ancestors naturally would have gone into ketosis.
So just to clarify for everybody what the ketogenic diet is, it's essentially cutting down carbohydrates really, really significantly. So you're eating a lot of calories from fat, you're eating a moderate amount of protein, and it's very low carb and definitely cutting out sugars. So that's basically the ketogenic diet. And what happens is that because you're basically cutting out most of your carbs, you're using fat as a fuel source. Mm. And that has its benefits. So it's a really good energy source, but it's also fuel for the brain as well.
Absolutely. So I've seen these ratios before of how much fat, how much protein, and how much carbohydrate you want to aim for so that we can switch our body into ketosis.
Well, let's talk about the percentages first. Broadly, you're looking to get 70% of your calories from fat, which I know sounds like a lot. You're looking to get about 20% of your calories from protein, and the remainder would come from carbohydrates. We're talking about, you know, carbs, the better carbs like sweet potato, things like that. So to answer your question, if you look at that in terms of how much carbohydrate a day, and again, you and I, many occasions have heard Dr. Perlmutter say, around the 50 grams of carbohydrate is good to keep you in ketosis. And obviously, we'll talk in a minute about how you measure your blood to see if you are in ketosis, and we'll talk more about ketones. But 50 grams seems to be, I don't want to call it a magic number, but like a guideline, but you know, some people may consume 70 or 80 grams, depending on how many calories you need. Obviously, you're a heavy exerciser, you obviously need more carbohydrate than say I do. So, you know, there will be a difference. There's individual variation, as always with any diet, but broadly we go with a 70, 20, 10 percentage wise. And so, you know, you certainly will go into ketosis if you're eating, for most people, less than 50 grams.
Wow, okay. So we're generally aiming for around 70% fat, 20% protein, and 10% carbohydrates of our total calories. And we want to keep our carbohydrates somewhere around 50 grams a day. And
which is low, very low.
It is low. So before we get into the specifics of what to eat on this diet, let's just talk a little bit more about who the ketogenic diet is for. Are there any contraindications with the ketogenic diet?
Yes, I think because, you know, this is a high fat diet, we have to be a little careful here. So if you have any conditions, for example, like pancreatitis or any problems with your liver, any lipid disorders, as always, Ryan, if you have any medical condition, it's always good policy to speak to your doctor first to make sure that whatever diet or supplements you're planning to take are right for you.
Are there specific health benefits to adhering to this diet? Are there specific people that may benefit from this? And are there people that may not benefit from this style of diet?
Well, again, obviously, legally, we need to be clear that we're not diagnosing, treating, or prescribing anything, Ryan, here. But, you know, certainly I, and I know you, and Dr. Perlmutter, we all believe this is actually a healthy diet for most people, because essentially you're cutting out sugars. And we know that a lot of sugar isn't good for us for so many reasons, in that it promotes inflammation in the body. So any kind of lifestyle, I like to call it the ketogenic lifestyle rather than the ketogenic diet, any kind of ketogenic lifestyle where we're encouraging people to keep their blood sugar lower is beneficial. Of course, not everybody can accomplish the 70% fat. But so what we're really doing is talking about a version of a low carbohydrate diet. And you don't have to get the 70-20-10 ratio at every meal and every day. But if you're following these principles of cutting down sugars, eating, if you eat 70 or 80 grams of carbohydrate a day, that's much more healthful than eating 300 or 400 grams of processed carbohydrates a day. So it is definitely healthy for most people. You know, living a keto lifestyle is only a good thing for our brain health. For most people, we want to maintain our weight, we want to keep a healthy blood sugar, and we want to preserve our brain function. These are all things that we need to do, particularly as we hit middle age, and you know, this is something we should do as part of an anti-aging diet. So I think this is great information for most people. Certainly, though, also, who else is it for? You know, younger generation working out. The fats, if you consume 70% of your calories from fat, you're going to produce ketones. That's why it's called ketogenic diet. And these ketones are used for a fuel source, an energy source. So a lot of people say, oh, aren't athletes and people working out supposed to eat a lot of carbs? Don't you need carbohydrate for energy to work out? And the answer is, actually, the ketones are a really good fuel source. And they give you clear thinking, your brain can use them. So, you know, anyone who's working out, this is a good protocol for energy and clear thinking and, you know, helping you to focus better, basically.
Okay. So, Don, we've been told that fats are bad for your heart and eating fats will make you fat. And now we're being told to eat a higher fat diet. So can you kind of dispel some of the myths that are around fats being bad for you? And can you talk to us about some of those healthy fats that we're trying to introduce with the ketogenic diet?
Yes, that's a really good point, because when at Garden of Life we launched our keto products, a lot of people said to me, why are you launching high fat products? You know, aren't they bad for people with heart disease? And so I think, you know, as we've said many times, there's been so much in the past that's been misunderstood. And now we know it's a complete myth that fat is related to heart disease. For years, we put all our heart patients on low-fat diets, and you know, everybody was crazily buying all these low-fat foods. And what were they high in? They were high in sugar and carbs. And now we know that heart disease is related, as we said, chronic diseases like heart disease are related to inflammation. When you get inflammation in your arteries, and what we need to do is to be cutting down on sugars and carbs, which, you know, obviously end up as sugars in the blood. So that's what we need to focus on for our heart patients, is keeping them at a healthy weight, obviously encouraging them to exercise, and having them eat healthy fats. So we're going to talk about different healthy fat sources in a moment. But I just wanted to clarify that this diet is actually very good for people who might be trying to improve their heart health. So talking about healthy fats, Ryan, I mean, the main focus, I think, is we're looking for fats that are coming from foods. It's always about unprocessed. You know, if we can eat avocados and eat healthy foods, fatty fish, things like that, I always tell people, go for foods that naturally contain higher fat. We want to go more for the natural fats in our diet.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Nuts as well. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, the fatty fish, the grass-fed meats, the pastured eggs, some organic nuts, the low sugar vegetables, which are going to be more of your leafy greens, and maybe adding some extra virgin olive oil on that as well.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Definitely the avocados.
So the less processed, the better. But we want to go more for the omega-3s, and we want to go away from the omega-6s because the omega-6s are more pro-inflammatory. They lead to inflammation as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I was talking to you earlier about how to track when you're adjusting to a ketogenic diet. So the way that I tracked when I started doing the ketogenic diet for years and years was through diet apps. So mm-hmm. you can download these applications
oh, yeah.
on your cell phone. There's two good ones that I generally use. There's MyFitnessPal and another one called Chronometer, and they're both free. You can download them on your phone, on your computer, and you can input all of the food that you're eating throughout the day. And this makes it easy for you to track how many carbohydrates you're consuming and to make sure that you're adhering to the 70-20-10 general guideline to get your body into ketosis. Of course, if you really want to assess if you're in ketosis, the best way is to either use a keto stick, and that's actually going to be a blood draw, or you can do something that measures your acetoacetate, which is actually the ketones on your breath. Now, I don't think you necessarily have to do this. If you're keeping your carbohydrates generally from 30 to 50 grams and you're adhering to the 70-20-10 guidelines and you're staying active, most people will dip into this ketogenic state because their body will have to transition over to using fat as a fuel source. So it's not mandatory to measure your blood, but if you really want to assess that and you're doing it for a specific outcome, that would be the best way to do this.
I worked in a bariatric clinic in the 90s, and we used to test urine with the keto sticks. What do you feel about that?
It's really interesting that what the research is saying is that the ketones will spill out through the urine the first week
mm-hmm.
because there's an abundance of them in the blood. Well, your body will actually start to become more efficient at using the ketones.
Mm-hmm.
So these urine strips will actually show less ketones in the urine. And that's because your body is actually starting to use the ketones more efficiently.
Great.
So
yeah.
they
yeah.
can be very, very accurate for about a week. And at that point, if you start to see your ketones drop off on the strips, that could be a good thing if you're still adhering to the guidelines of the ketogenic diet.
The blood and the breath are the more accurate ways that both you and Dr. Perlmutter talk about. But I think for a lot of people, it's easy. You know, as I said, I've used them with clients just to test their urine as a check. And, you know, one of the things that we teach people is that when you do the keto lifestyle is that you need to keep it up. You can't be doing the ketogenic diet and off it tomorrow because it doesn't work like that. You need to be fairly consistent. There may be a day when maybe you eat a little bit extra carbs, but most of the time for this to be effective, you want to keep your body in ketosis. So otherwise your body's going to go straight back to burning a carbohydrate and you're undoing the good. You've taught your body to burn fat. So you need to keep your body as that fat burning machine, and that you'll certainly see more results in terms of your weight loss and your energy if you keep in ketosis. So I think testing the urine is good because it kind of keeps you on track a little bit. It's that reminder to what you're doing. You're looking for ketones in your urine. That tells you you're in ketosis.
Yeah, it's a way to hold yourself accountable. So
yeah, that's helpful. I mean, for somebody who's a beginner, who's listening to this, learning this for the first time, we've made some keto products at Garden of Life, which take the math out of it for you. So, you know, we've got some options here to offer people where you've got a 70-20 ratio. And so I think those tools are very useful as well, our keto shake and our keto meal, two really good options. As you know, for breakfast, I'm a big fan of our Raw Fit. And so actually now I've started with the Keto Fit because, you know, this is taking the clinically studied ingredients that are in Raw Fit and adding them into the keto protocol. So that's a great option for those who are doing the keto diet for weight management, for weight loss. I think Keto Fit's a great option. And, you know, that the fat source is the organic grass-fed butter. I remember you saying when we brought the organic grass-fed butter out, how genius it was that you can now travel with this. You know, it's a powder form. So that's useful. So that makes the base. We've got truly grass-fed whey, a very digestible whey. And then again, the green coffee extract, which is giving you the fat burning. So that's really a good breakfast as well.
Yeah, it's nice to have those easy options for people that are traveling or you're in the airport, because it's not always easy to find good keto-friendly foods on the go. So this makes it a lot more convenient.
Yeah. For sure.
So the ketogenic diet sounds like a wonderful tool for us to have in our arsenal to use for many, many different situations. And you know what I think is really important about the ketogenic diet is what's important about most diets. And I think that what most diets do is a common theme here. They reduce processed foods. They reduce intake of sugars. They move people to eating whole foods. And so the ketogenic diet is a great tool to use. And I think for those who don't want to adhere to this keto lifestyle, they can still get some of the benefits from what we taught today. And that's regulating blood sugar by eating more of these low glycemic foods. It's by introducing healthy fats into their diet. So I think there's a lot of benefits that come from this lifestyle, even if you're not going to track all of your macros. Maybe just cut out those processed foods, eliminate the sugars, and introduce these healthy fats into your diet.
Yes, I think you said that well, Ryan. And as a dietitian, I'm very practical. And, you know, we don't want people doing anything extreme. You need to ease into this lifestyle more gradually. And so I think, you know, it's a process of cutting out processed foods, cutting out processed sugar, looking at your carbohydrates and making better choices, as you say, eating less refined, eating more natural foods, and over a period of time, working towards a ketogenic lifestyle. So I think that's a good message for everybody, unless you have any immediate goal to reduce blood sugar for medical conditions or whatever. I think one can work into this lifestyle. The only other thing I wanted to say, which I think is a great tool, is we do have a keto guide. So there's a lot of great information in our keto guide, you know, what foods to shop for. It's a very practical resource. So if you go to a Garden of Life website, you'll see our keto guide right there, and that might be helpful to a lot of people listening.
Thank you for listening. Hope you found this information helpful. This is Dawn Jarvis wishing you extraordinary health. Goodbye until next time.